Yeah, but the price is the pool. We discussed yesterday that the mitzvah of tzedakah is first mentioned sort of in the context of giving a loan. And not so much giving a loan as in not charging interest. When you give a loan, you can't charge interest. I want to spend a couple minutes on the heter rishka and in general on legal loopholes in halakha. So we know in today's economy it's impossible to exist without interest. The entire economy runs on interest. And the stock market, everybody thinks, is the Fed going to raise the interest rate by a quarter point? How many times this year? The whole economy would fall apart without interest. Nobody could buy a house, nobody could give money. So the prohibition of interest is a very difficult interest to understand. It's basically rent on money. And I can charge rent whenever I want and anything else, so why not on money? That we don't have time to get into, but basically, what's going on, really what happened is, in the time of the Torah, in the Gemara, so when a person lends somebody a bushel of wheat, a dozen eggs, the Torah says, don't ask for a 13th egg back. Don't ask for more. It's a little loan. But as the economy grew, we came into the Industrial Revolution, as I mentioned, became impossible. So the rabbis came up with a heter rishka. Basically, has anybody ever worked with that person? Anybody ever signed that person here? So how does it work? Okay, very good. All the businessmen in the room. So basically, a heter rishka converts a loan into a business, like partnership. So the person who gives a loan becomes the investor, he becomes a partner in the business. He's a passive investor. He gives money, and he gets 50% of the profits or so, whatever the deal is. The problem is, he doesn't really want to be invested in the company. And the company may lose money. And the guy who is borrowing the money doesn't want to partner either. He wants to make all the money. So we put in a penalty clause into the contract. And we say, you can cancel either party. You can cancel our agreement. If you pay a fine, we'll get you out of the agreement. Of course, we'll put the fine to the amount what the interest is going to be. What the interest rate would be, let's say $100,000 loan, $5,000 is the fine after a year, or 5% interest. That's great if the company's making a lot of money. The guy's they'll trigger the clause. But the company's losing money. The company's losing money, so the guy who bore the money, he's not interested in breaking the partnership. He wants the guy who loaned the money to share it in the losses, but of course, I don't want that. I'm giving you the money. I don't want to share in the losses. I want to give you a loan. So we say, okay, we're going to make you take an oath that to the penny, how much money you lost. The assumption is most people are not willing to take such an oath, and they'll prefer to trigger the penalty clause. But in theory, he could take an oath, and you'd be stuck. The lender would lose money. If that would not be the case, this would be a joke, and it wouldn't be allowed. This would be a violation of agreement. Without the possibility, even if it's a remote possibility, but without the theoretical possibility that you can actually lose the money, then the heter rishka is not a heter rishka. It's just like, we say, and we're not going to follow what it says in Torah. That's why I believe where Moshe Feinstein says you shouldn't use a heter rishka if I'm giving money, so you should invest it in the stock market. Because in the stock market, we know to the penny, you'll look at the end of the day how much money is the loss, so the whole thing becomes a joke. But in a business, no businessman keeps records to the penny. The accountant rounds off here and there, etc. So that's in general how a heter rishka works. Of course, what I wanted to spend a couple minutes to discuss is when do we allow these type of things? When does the halakha say we're going to find really a legal loophole, which basically gets us around, which would be an impossible halakha to observe as it was originally done in the Torah, but it still keeps the legal parameters of the Torah without breaking the laws of the Torah. And when do we say it's a harama? When do we say this is basically a joke? When we're against, or for example, I don't know, Dayan Purim. But to spend the 14th of Adar in Yerushalayim and the 15th in Tel Aviv, that we don't say is like a legal loophole. That isn't allowed. That's a way to evade to keep Purim. So I'll tell a brief story on Rabbi Amital. I heard the name of Rabbi Amital, the great Rosh Hashiva, Yeshiva Har Etzion. So somebody said to him, he goes home for the weekend, his mother gives him all the, cakes and chocolates. He wants to share with the soldiers in his units, many of whom are not observant, who don't wear a kippah, are not going to make a bracha. And the halacha is, you're not allowed to give food to somebody who's not going to make a bracha. So what should I do? So Rabbi Amital told him, don't hand him the down on the plate, put it down on the table, and they'll pick it up. And I put it, I don't really give it a food. So the guy said, that's not fine. It's like, a joke. Who are we kidding here? The Roberto said, okay, don't give him the food. So he said, don't give him the food, that's not nice. Roberto says, now you understand why there are legal loopholes and all of that. Sometimes we're faced with the situation, we have two values that are both important. One, keep both values. Very important to share with our non-observant friend. But it's also important to know that when somebody eats food, they have to make a blessing. The only way to keep this is to come up with kind of a trick. That's really, I think, the whole basic idea. Like, for example, lights on Shabbos, using a Shabbos light. It's also a trick. So Rav Moshe Feinstein was really opposed to it. He said, what can I do? Everybody allows, but we have to keep it limited to lights. Because light is an important value to have lights. No one makes electricity, keep the lights on all day. So we'll use a Shabbos clock for light, but use a Shabbos clock on a television set. It's the same thing, logically, there's no difference in the technical thing, but that's not so important that you watch television on Shabbat. So a rabbi generally doesn't allow. Or let's say, I don't know, a Shabbos standing in an elevator and riding on the subway on Shabbos. Don't know how different that is, but we understand going on the subway is very different. Why going on the subway, etc. So the halakha has to really, it has to figure out when it's important to observe two values. And that's really the job of the post in every generation. When do we allow it? But in real life, we're often faced to live in the modern world. We often have to take things that halakha in the pure sense. We have to apply them, and that will sometimes require creative working. Of the Eucharist is really one of the great innovations of halakha that we can exist. Of course, the most common one, where on Pesach here is the selling of the chametz. That's also a serious question. We all know there are people who were opposed to it, but generally it's not, because to throw out hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of food is also will be a terrible thing. It's also a bad to say food. So the halacha came out with the system to sell the chametz. He knows you're going to buy that. Everybody knows everything. Yet it has to be technically, when I sold the chametz before coming here, though I have I had a lawyer who dropped a legal contract that works in Ontario, and I tell the person, you can keep it, it's 100%, it's yours, you want to buy it, if you don't have that possibility, that whole thing is not worth it. So, okay, Dr. Shaikh will sit. So, for thought, if you're interested, you want to come back later, everybody's